Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with your host, Brent McGuire. This episode is brought to you by the Locked On MLB Podcast. Subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from. So we've got a busy episode today. We're going to start off the first part of the episode, going back to Friday, breaking down the Angels trade deadline, the trades of Andrew Heaney and Tony Watson, what went down with those trades, and also talk about the strategy of not trading away players such as Rice Iglesias and Alex Cobb. We're going to talk about the Reed Detmers promotion, obviously, and then we're going to talk about the disappointing series for the Angels over the weekend, losing 3 of 4 games to the Oakland A's and further falling back in the wild card picture. But before we get into the episode, as usual, if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at bmags94. You can find the podcast at Locked On Angels. You can find my written work at Crashing the Pearly Gates. And if you haven't done so already, make sure to download, subscribe, rate, and review the Locked On Angels podcast, wherever you get your podcast from. So happy Monday. Hope you are doing well. This is a very interesting podcast that we're starting off this week with because it feels like so much was happening over the weekend for the Angels in terms of the trades, the Detmers promotion, and all of that different activity. Yet at the same time, there wasn't all that much happening on the field for the Angels. There were like very few runs scored in this series for the Angels. They obviously did not play very well. So we're going to get into all of this in today's episode. I do want to kind of go in chronological order, start by talking about the trade deadline and what was a pretty crazy day for Major League Baseball at large, but not necessarily for the Angels. And then we're going to pivot over to talking about the games over the weekend. And it's not going to be as long as usual just because there really wasn't that much happening on the field for the Angels. So let's go back to Friday and let's talk about the trade deadline. This was, in my opinion, the craziest trade deadline that we've had for Major League Baseball in quite some time, if ever, at least as far back as I have been following baseball. I don't recall one that was quite this crazy the final day or two just leading up to that deadline. I think what made this deadline so different was the fact that we don't have the waiver trade deadline this year as well. So in the past, you could still technically trade players after the deadline. Going into August, if you placed a player on waivers and a team put a claim in for him, you could have the framework for a trade, but that's not happening this year in Major League Baseball. So this was the final day that you could go out and make a trade for that stretch run. So we saw so many different moves happening. I mean, the Cubs completely cleaned house. Javi Baez to the Mets and Craig Kimbrel to the White Sox, Chris Bryant to the Giants, Anthony Rizzo to the Yankees. I mean, I could go through all of these different moves, but I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you were probably as tuned in as I was. It was a crazy day. And I think as time continued to go on, for me personally, I started seeing the returns that some of the selling teams were getting, especially for a team like the Cubs when they traded away Craig Kimbrel. I immediately thought, well, the Angels, there's no way they're not going to trade Rice Iglesias away. I mean, as it started to continue, there was this general consensus that it was a seller's market in terms of the type of value you were getting back. I mean, the best example of that was the Craig Kimbrel trade and the Jose Barrios trade. So I really felt like the Angels were going to take advantage of that and maybe just move in a different direction for the rest of the year. But what the Angels did instead was they traded away Andrew Heaney and Tony Watson, but held on to Rice Iglesias and Alex Cobb and several other Angels. And personally, I found this to be interesting. Now, if you go back to last week, we kind of talked about the Angels kind of doing something in the middle. And it wasn't necessarily that they were going to stand pat and do absolutely nothing. I was definitely advocating for the Angels to do a little bit of buying for next year while also selling off for this year. And there were some moves that the Angels made where that is kind of what they went for. And I think the obvious one is the Andrew Heaney trade. Impending free agent was not necessarily helping the big league club that much this year. Yes, he had been a big part of the club in previous years, but was just not really there for the Angels quite as much this year. His ERA was obviously not where you wanted to see. So the Angels move him, but they don't just trade him for some lower level prospects in single A or rookie ball. They traded for a couple of pitchers in double A. The first guy, Jansen Junk, and yes, I know, there were plenty of jokes for the Angels making a trade for a pitcher with the last name Junk. That being said, he's got some good stuff. He was the number 27 prospect by MLB Pipeline in the New York Yankees system. And if you look at the updated prospect list for the Angels, they've got Jansen Junk as their 21st best prospect. And he's 25 years old. He's in double A. He's pretty close to being a guy that could be called up. So this one seemed to make some sense. And the other guy in the trade, Elvis Peguero, same situation. He is ranked at number 22 in the Angel system. He's 24 years old. Both of the ETAs for when they can reach the major leagues, according to MLB Pipeline, are 2022. So this one made sense, I think, for the Angels. I think we got the sense that Heaney was not going to come back with the Angels. And if they were able to move him for anything of value, I think that was going to happen. And I've got to say, I think Junk and Peguero have some pretty good stuff. In the case of Junk, I think there's a little bit more commands and maybe a better overall mix. But when you look at Peguero, it's a bigger body, bigger stuff. Maybe the command issues are going to be more worrisome. But this one made sense, and especially considering what the Angels did immediately after. And we'll talk more about Detmers throughout this episode. But the news came out about the Andrew Heaney trade, and then literally within 5 to 10 minutes, we actually saw a tweet from our good friend and former host, Taylor Blake Ward, reporting that the Angels were going to call up Reed Detmers. And it was obvious. You didn't have to make this complicated. They traded away a guy and immediately called up their top pitching prospect. So it made sense, because I think you knew that Detmers could at the very least provide what Heaney was providing this year for the Angels. And to be just totally blunt, not that much. And it's a move that made a lot of sense. You know, in the case of Heaney, it was a 7-year career with the Angels, and it was certainly up and down for his tenure with the Angels. And I know there was a lot of frustration about maybe him not reaching that full potential, but there were still some quality seasons in there. He seemed to be a guy that was very well liked in the clubhouse. Obviously, when Tyler Skaggs passed away, he was one of those guys that was taking the microphone and really kind of just putting the team on his back. And I get it, the performance wasn't there, but by all accounts was a really good human being and represented the Angels organization pretty darn well. Yes, the production maybe wasn't necessarily always there, but in terms of what he gave for the Angels organization, you know, he did some good stuff. So I obviously wish him all the best with the Yankees. I think that puts him in a slightly better position to go make an impact in the playoffs, and obviously that would be cool to see. So definitely a move. I wasn't quite sure he was going to get traded, but I also wasn't surprised when the move happened. And then this was right before the deadline. So there was almost this perception that the Angels weren't going to do anything. This move happened within 10 to 15 minutes before that 1 o'clock trade deadline. So 1 o'clock comes around. Obviously, if you were following along, you would have heard multiple times that just because it hit 1 o'clock did not mean that there couldn't be trades happening because of the nature of these trades having to go through the Major League Baseball front offices and kind of get approved by the league. So shortly after 1 o'clock, 10 to 15 minutes after, it was reported that the Angels had traded away Tony Watson to the Giants in exchange for Sam Selman, 30-year-old pitcher who's been in the major leagues already. He was actually he pitched for the Angels on Sunday. They also got back Jose Marte and Ivan Armstrong. So this one, you know, I think all things considering, this was a pretty good move for the Angels. You know, I don't think Selman is much to write home about. He's been in the major leagues. The numbers aren't there. He's not necessarily a guy that's going to make a big impact. But if you look at the younger guys, I think Marte is kind of interesting. Bigger dude, command issues, lots of good stuff. And Armstrong has been really good this year. I mean, 1.88 ERA, 38 and a third innings. Struck out nearly 30% of opposing hitters. So again, I think what the Angels were going for with these trades was, we need pitching. We're going to go find some guys that are close to the major leagues. These are almost certainly going to be relievers only with all of these moves. But as we've seen this year, the Angels are definitely short on impact talent in the bullpen. And, you know, we know the nature of relievers in general. There's a good chance that none of these guys are actually going to work out. But if you hit on one or two of these guys, that's a big deal because the Angels absolutely need that kind of help. But if we're looking at the entire trade deadline for the Angels, I think there was a common consensus from the baseball community that the Angels had a really weird trade deadline just because most people assumed they were going to sell. They looked at the record. They saw the situation. Mike Trout was not back. Anthony Rendon, Jared Walsh, both on the injured list. The Angels were 6 games back when the trade deadline was happening. And not moving Raisel Iglesias after we saw the prices for relievers on the market definitely surprised me a little bit. The only thing that I will say is, if the Angels re-sign him in the offseason, it makes total sense. Totally understand it. If they decide to let him walk or they give him a qualifying offer, that is a little different for me. So I guess I'm going to wait and see what happens. If I was evaluating the market like we saw it, I probably would have moved Iglesias, but I also understand that he's a very valuable reliever. And if they're looking for a guy that can hold it down in the back end of the bullpen, it's totally responsible or totally justifiable to want him for next year. So we'll see what happens there. And the Alex Cobb one, I think had he been healthy, he almost certainly would have been moved, but was dealing with the blister. And then on Saturday, it was announced that he was dealing with some wrist tightness, so he was put on the injured list. I almost certainly believe that that was the reason he was not traded. But again, that's another guy that you might be able to keep around for next year. So we'll see what happens. I would have probably tried to move them given what the market was looking like. But again, I really understand if they want to keep him around for next year. The Angels obviously need some pitching talent. These two have been two of their better pitchers this year, and I think it makes a lot of sense for them to want to keep them around. We're going to take our first break of this episode. When we get back, we're going to talk about the games over the weekend for the Angels and really specifically zone in on Reed Detmers and his promotion up to the major leagues and what it means for the Angels. But first, let me tell you about Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all of the action at Bet Online. Get all of the latest news, odds, and info for all of your sporting needs. So make sure to head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So let's get back into the second part of this episode, and let's specifically talk about what happened for the Angels over the weekend. And I can save us a lot of time because not much really happens on Thursday and Friday for the Angels, just strictly looking at the on-field product. Obviously, the trade deadline, the Reed Detmers promotion, all that stuff happened. But if we're just looking at what happened in the major league games for the Angels, Thursday and Friday, not much happened. They were shut out 4-0 on Thursday. Obviously, we talked about this on Friday's episode. And then Friday's game, the Angels were shut out again. Back-to-back games against the Oakland A's. This was just a gem from Chris Bassitt. 7 innings, 6 hits, no runs, 7 strikeouts, and 1 walk. We had a home run from Matt Chapman. We had an RBI from Mark Canna. Was the first run of the game, and the Angels just could not get anything going offensively. 7 hits. Justin Upton was the only guy to have multiple hits in this game. Just not much of anything for the offense in this game. And, you know, the pitching was pretty good for the most part. I think Patrick Sandoval definitely had some command issues in this game. He walked 6 batters in 5 2/3 innings. But the 6 strikeouts were nice. 4 hits, 1 run. Overall, a pretty good outing for him, albeit with a lot of command issues. But Sandoval, to be honest, I mean, he did his part. The pitching did their job in this game. The offense did not. Saturday's game, the Angels win 1-0. I mean, in the same realm, we could say nothing really happened on Saturday's game, but the Angels just happened to win this one. And once again, the offense was not there. Shohei Ohtani had an RBI double. That was it. They had 5 hits in this game, 1 walk. I mean, this was the Angels were not doing anything at the plate against Cole Irvin, but the Angels had a fantastic performance from their pitching staff. Jaime Barria was awesome. 6 2/3 innings, 4 hits, 0 runs, 3 strikeouts, 1 walk. And you look at what Barria has done since you go back to the start that he had in Minnesota. He allowed 2 home runs to the first 2 batters of that game and then proceeded to throw 7 shutout innings after that. You combine that with this outing, that's 13 2/3 innings for Barria without a single run allowed. It's worth repeating that the Angels have received fantastic production from their starting pitching over the past month, especially going back to the All-Star break, but everything else has not been really working for the Angels. But big outing from Barria. The bullpen came in, did their job, and not much else to say for this game. I mean, again, nothing was really happening in this game. And then Sunday's game, the Angels lost this one 8-3. If the Reed Detmers promotion doesn't happen, we're just looking at this as another really bad game. And this was Reed Detmers' first start in the major leagues, and his 6 runs allowed, that kind of did it for the Angels losing this game. But I think we can all agree that Reed Detmers making it up here to the major leagues a little over a year after he was drafted is a big deal. This is a really big deal. And yes, the results were not there in this game. I think it goes without saying. 4 1/3 innings, 6 hits, 6 runs, 2 strikeouts, 2 walks, allowed 2 home runs. Was not a good outing for him, but he's in the major leagues. That's a big deal based on the fact that he was just drafted a little over a year ago, the fact that he has absolutely flown up prospect rankings throughout the year and legitimately looks like a guy that the Angels can build their rotation around. So I kind of want to talk about what went down in Detmers' outing. I mean, I can tell you what was not working for Detmers, and that was really most of his pitches. I mean, the 2 big mistakes were fastballs right down the middle. Matt Olson hit a 3-run homer to tie up the game, and then another one to Yan Gomes, 2-run homer to give the A's the lead in this game. And that was kind of it for Detmers. I mean, those 2 mistake pitches really just killed his entire day, but didn't have much success with really anything throughout the day. If you look at his whiffs in the game, I think he only had 6 of them. The stuff looked good. The command was not necessarily there, but I kind of want to just talk about what we saw and what I'm encouraged about. So the low to mid 90s fastball, that's a big deal for Detmers. We've talked about it on this show. He's flown up prospect rankings this year because when he was drafted, there was an idea that he was going to be a high floor, low ceiling college starter, didn't have a good fastball, and that was kind of it. And then all of a sudden, at the end of last year, there were reports that he was throwing a little bit harder. Cool, that's awesome. And then he came into this season hitting 97 miles per hour in spring training. It was like, whoa, this is a way different fastball than we've seen before. And I think to make it even more encouraging was the fact that it wasn't his curveball that was necessarily his best pitch, his best breaking ball anymore. It was the slider really started to develop throughout this year. And we could definitely see that in his start on Sunday. And I think that's what I'm the most encouraged about. It's a four-pitch mix. Everything works. The fastball is firm. The curveball is a big, big pitch. The slider is a hard breaking ball, kind of like that Kershaw slider. The changeup is pretty good. Not great, but definitely a nice fourth pitch to have. And you put it all together, and there were some encouraging things. I know the six runs and losing the game in your MLB debut, maybe you wanted to see a little bit more, but ultimately, he's up in the major leagues. He flew up the system through, how many innings did he have? 60 innings before getting called up. I mean, there's going to be a learning curve, but I think this is a big step forward for him, for the Angels. Give him the last few months, work through his issues, work on some of the home run issues that he's had in the minor leagues this year. And I think ultimately, this guy's going to be one of the best Angels starters that they've developed in quite some time. And we saw our first glimpse at it, and we'll see what happens moving forward the rest of the season. We're going to take our final break of this episode, but first let me tell you about Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has many delicious flavors, that there's something out there for everyone? Whether you're looking for a fruity flavor like raspberry, a traditional chocolate flavor like double chocolate, or something a little different like salted caramel, Built Bar has you covered. And most importantly, Built Bars are healthy. They're high in protein, low in calories, low in sugar, and low in net carbs. And if you go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 15% off your order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off at built.com. So let's wrap up today's episode. It was an interesting few days for the Angels. Obviously, the trade deadline had a lot of different things happening. The Reed Detmers promotion, very exciting. The Angels themselves at the major league level, not necessarily exciting. Losing three of four games. They're seven games back of a playoff spot. It's looking increasingly unlikely that they're not going to make a run at it this year. But who knows? We'll see what happens. But things are not looking great right now. But I believe that's all I've got for today's episode. As always, thank you for joining. Stay safe out there, and we will talk some Angels baseball on Tuesday. Betting on Major League Baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Just make sure to follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcast from.